Joining us now in our studios is Rice County Attorney John Fossum. John, good morning. And thank you so much for joining us. I apologize, we're missing a microphone here. Ah. It's out for repairs, so we've got you on a
mic. I hope I didn't break it last time I was here.
No, you didn't. That honor belongs to me. we are just a couple of days removed from the election, so let's start off by talking about that. The local elections, a very tight race between yourself and also Brian Mortensen, and just a few votes. Where the difference there? 118 out of 25,000 votes that were cast. I guess any comments on that?
Well, it's a very close race. It was relatively. I think, to me, the amazing part of it, Jeff, is that we've never had 24,000, 25,000 people vote in that race before. 4 years ago when I ran unopposed, there were 22,000 people, almost 22,000 people that voted for me, and I sort of thought that was the cap. And 8 years ago when I ran against Paul Bowmaster, there were maybe 18,000 people who voted in that race. So I guess the good thing is a lot more people were interested in the race for county attorney. I think having the contested sheriff's race drew a lot of attention to the county attorney's race. And so there was a lot going on there, and people were interested, and they cast their votes.
The results are, I guess, pretty much final by now. Do you know... Yeah, we do have, of course, 100%, I guess, of the precincts that have been reported. Do you know, are there any, have there been any irregularities or any claims of anything going on yet?
There have been some people who've made some complaints about things that they saw or at the polling places, but no one has filed a formal complaint. We have... You know, the Secretary of State has a process where people fill out a form and they send it in, and we have it investigated and make a determination. But no one has returned one of those forms. A couple of people have sort of said they thought they saw something. But mostly they're complaining about something they heard an election judge say, not something they saw anybody do. And so even if that's true, it probably doesn't rise to the level of an election irregularity or a problem. And, you know, I've said this before on this program, Jeff, is that we really do have the gold standard for elections in the country, is that we have our optical scan ballots. People mark their ballots. They run through the optical scanners. The scanners count them. And we check those numbers and make sure that the number of ballots that were counted were the number of ballots that went in. And check those results, and we get the results same day. Not, you know, when is Arizona going to be done, Jeff? I mean, they're still going, right?
Are they?
And so I think we do this all about as well as it can be done, and we have a great team of election professionals, a great team of election judges who show up for election day and basically volunteer their time to do this work every 2 years. And I think it's amazing that people do that. And I think it's great that so many people were interested that they all turned out to vote and kept going down the ballot, which is always that drop off between the people who vote for the state races and don't vote for the county races or the city races or the school board races is always kind of concerning to those of us who've spent time in local politics. It's always nice to see people get engaged and go ahead and vote.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will echo what you say about the election judges. Every time I go in, there's election judges involved. And it's the same thing if you vote in advance, if you go down to City Hall and vote in advance, there's going to be judges on duty there, and they do a great job. And once again, for all the right causes, because they love their area, they love the country, and it's a good thing. So once again, thank you to all the election officials out there who had a busy day on Tuesday.
Well, and for our election judges, for our county folks, we've been having early voting since middle of September. So election day isn't just one day anymore. And counting those absentee ballots has been going on for a couple of days before election day. They run them through a tabulator, through a machine that counts the votes, but they don't, no one gets to see that information until election day when it gets transferred to the precincts. So that information is, again, that's one of the things we do differently than a lot of other states, where they don't start counting those absentee ballots, those mail-in ballots, until after election day or at the end of election day. And that's why Arizona is going on for a long time. They're still dealing with all of their mail-in ballots, which, I think that I think that we do it about as well as we could, that being able to start doing the work before election day so that the results are ready and reliable. And I have great confidence in the capability of our elections officials and in the work and the machinery that we use.
Rice County Attorney John Fossum is with us. Let's look at the elections, not only for the countywide offices, but also certain cities involved with Faribault and Northfield, and of course Lonsdale, and some of the smaller communities out there. Overall, are there any close races? Are we going to have to take any special? Will there be any special actions, any recounts, or anything from any of those places, any of those offices around the county? Or I'm presuming you know yet. You probably don't know yet.
I don't know yet. So the way the process works, Jeff, is that the canvassing board will meet on Monday, the 14th, and they will certify the results, and then they will give notice to the candidates who are in the very close elections to say you have the opportunity to request a recount or do that. So I don't think we'll know if there's any recounts for another week or so after that. I think so. My understanding is that the canvass board meets on the 14th, so people would have until the 21st, the following Monday, to demand the recount. Of course, that's right before Thanksgiving, so now we're getting kind of removed from the whole election time. But that's how the process is set up, that all those contests, all those arguments have to be made prior to prior to that point, so that we can have a resolution by December, so that people can take office in January, which is how the system is set up to work.
All right. Once again, John Fossum is with us, Rice County Attorney. Anything else that we should know about the election process, or the counting process as well?
I think we've not that I can think of at the moment, Jeff. I think we've covered it relatively well. I just really think we've shown over and over again that this system works, and it works really well, and the results tend to be pretty reliable. So.
If there is one, somebody does have an issue, or potentially maybe saw something or thought they saw something, what is the process that goes through? Does your office immediately launch an investigation? Does that go to the police or the sheriff's department?
Yeah, so if there is a complaint filed, there is a form on the Secretary of State's website. People are supposed to direct it to my office. We review it, we send it to the sheriff's office and ask them to investigate and prepare a report for it. And if they file a report saying that there is, that there's something here, that some sort of crime occurred, then we can move forward with that and figure out what is next. But we would decide whether or not to prosecute if there's a criminal act. But there's also other issues, like if there's a campaign finance violation where somebody believes that a candidate violated a rule, those go to the campaign fair practices board and get investigated. They go through a process at the Office of Administrative Hearings, and people file their complaints on those issues there at the Office of Administrative Hearings, and then they move through a process where they have a hearing to determine whether or not there's probable cause. They have a hearing to determine then if there is a prima facie case to move forward. and then they go forward to a panel of three judges who determine whether or not there should be a punishment for that. So there are different processes depending on the alleged violation, but for the idea that something happened at the polls, that needs to go through the process where the Secretary of State has the complaint form that goes to my office, that goes to the sheriff's office, that gets investigated. Mm-hmm. So nothing gets resolved this week. It would be a while.
A while on down the road. All right.
Due process.
All right. Well, John, thank you so much for joining us today. Much appreciated. Have a good month, a great Thanksgiving. It's coming up, and we'll talk to you, I guess, before Christmas sometime.
All right. Well, thank you, Jeff. Mm-hmm. Great to be here.
John Fossum, Rice County Attorney. You're listening to 95.1 FM and AM 1080, KYMN, Northfield. Here's news.
Minnesota News Network, I'm Brent Palm. Top Democrats are talking about strengthening abortion protections when they take control of the Minnesota Senate. But Hamline University professor David Schultz contends their problem will be a slim one-vote majority lead over Republicans, with rural DFLers likely having a much different view of abortion than their urban colleagues.
You do not have a unified Democratic Party caucus that speaks with one voice on the abortion issue.
But St. Paul Senator Aaron Murphy responds,
Minnesotans elected a pro-choice majority in the Minnesota Senate.
Schultz says even if Democrats can cobble together enough votes in the House and Senate to protect abortion, any measure might be far less than what liberals want. Well, several factors are driving up the price of Thanksgiving turkeys this year. U of M professor of ag economics Michael Boland says inflation is occurring across the U.S. economy.
Particularly seen in food prices. So it stands to reason that we're going to see higher prices for food at Thanksgiving this year.
Boland says turkey supplies have been reduced by this year's outbreak of highly pathogenic avian influenza.
As they increase the harvesting dates for turkeys to probably bring some more supply in, we're getting lighter weight turkeys because those turkeys might not have been harvested until December.
He says turkey growers are dealing with higher energy costs, more expensive feed, and a lack of adequate labor.
Couple that with the cutback in the supply of turkeys, it's no small surprise that we're going to see higher prices for turkeys.
Minnesota turkey farmers raise 40 to 42 million birds annually. A man from Maplewood is facing federal prison time for illegal possession of a pipe bomb in April. Authorities searched the home of 27-year-old Dylan Orr and discovered 2 6-inch pipes, one with BBs attached, 4 end caps, explosive powder, and components which could be converted to an explosive device. Orr does not have registration. He pleaded guilty to 1 count of possession of an unregistered destructive